I'm Rachel New, and I am literally on my last eggs in the wild throes of perimenopause, like millions of other women in the UK and worldwide.
Even now in the 21st century, women are presented with vaginas and vulvas that are not fit for purpose regards having sex with, and doctors are still saying, have a glass of wine or it's in your head.
This podcast is going to lift the lid on that whole messy, confusing journey with plenty of lols and WTFs along the way.
So I had laser treatment specifically for those scars because I get really cross with the word designer vagina. There's nothing designer about my vagina, I can tell you that now.
Welcome to On My Last Eggs, the podcast that is everything to do with menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause. And today we are going to be talking about my vagina, your vagina. We're going to be talking about vaginas in general. If right now your vagina is currently playing ball, and I mean that metaphorically, obviously, I don't mean if it's actually playing ball. If it is actually playing ball, please email us or send us a video, preferably, because that would be fun. But if it is playing ball, and by that I mean you can ride a bike, have sex, wear jeans, then maybe you should turn off now, because what you're about to hear might feel a bit like a horror story. But I say don't turn off, because forewarned is forearmed. Chances are, if you are in perimenopause, if you are heading to perimenopause, if you are menopausal, your vagina will be giving you some kind of jip, in my experience and the experience of millions of other women. And it may be a bit of a surprise, and it may be a bit of a shock, and it may be causing you endless distress. I've certainly been through the wars with my vagina. But our guest today is probably the queen of vaginal atrophy, which is probably not an accolade anyone ever wants. Jane Lewis, author of Me and My Menopausal Vagina. Welcome to On My Last Eggs. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me.
How do you feel about being the queen of vaginal atrophy?
Yeah, I'm called unique.
Your book is eye-watering, eye-opening account of vaginal atrophy. And I would imagine many other things beside your symptoms probably encompass. I bought this book 18 months ago because basically, you know, I was getting sore during sex, after sex, I was getting loads of UTIs, I was getting discharge. And, you know, I went to my GP and I went to my gynecologist, and, you know, they were wanting to rule medical things out. But other than that, they didn't seem too bothered about my non-functioning vagina, you know. And my gynecologist, to give her credit, was horrified at the thought that sex might be a problem, and she wanted to make sure, you know, that I was having a good sex life. But my GP was like, well, these things happen, you know. You, on the other hand, have a very different, a much worse account than me. So tell us from the beginning, your vaginal story.
Yeah, so I'm 54 now, and my sort of vaginal woes started sort of mid-40s when I was perimenopausal, because it's quite a myth, really, that they say it's only for postmenopausal women. But I was a horse rider. I rode 3 hours a day, roughly 6 days a week, and I never gave my, you know, pelvic floor, my vagina, my vulva, because it's your vulva that's outside, any thought at all. And then it started to get painful to ride my horse, to wear my jodhpurs, to wear tight jeans, to sit down. And sex had started to become painful in my early 40s, but it was such a small amount, such a tiny amount, that I didn't even let it register, really, because it was over and done with really quickly, as in the soreness. And smear tests started to hurt, but not enough to moan about, really. But then the horse riding became impossible. And at this point, I had never actually looked at my undercarriage, at my vulva, since I'd had my last child, which was nearly sort of back then, it was about 25 years ago. And I had a look, and I was horrified at what I saw. I was red raw. I was atrophying, as in thinning away. Your inner labia, they were thinning away. My episiotomy scars, because I'd had three from the birth of my children, were on the verge of splitting because the skin was so thin. And I was getting up to go to the loo. Now, we may get up once a night, especially if you've had children. Once a night, you can say that's okay. We'll say that as normal. But I was starting to get up every hour around, you know, go to bed, get up, sleep. And it became a continuous. And I'd never had a UTI in my life. I'd never had antibiotics before for a UTI. And suddenly I was getting UTIs and all these things that I never had an idea about, because like so many women, I thought menopause was hot flushes, very heavy periods, you may go a bit crazy, and then life returns to normal. But nobody.
Oh, the myth.
And nobody warns you about what can happen to the vagina, vulva, bladder area, pelvic floor. And yet 80% plus will suffer. And to be honest with you, with an aging population, having spoken to doctors, it's highly likely that all of us will suffer some way in that area. And it made me suicidal. Pills had to be hidden in the house because my life as being a horse rider had stopped. And with that, it's a huge social life. It's everything. Those who have horses, you know the smell. It's everything about it. And then you get depressed, and then you're told it's the depression that's causing the problem. No, it's not. It's the problem that has caused the depression, sort of thing. And so that's where I was, and that's how the book came about, really.
And I think for anyone listening who hasn't read the book or hasn't heard your story, who might just be thinking, oh, she couldn't ride a horse and she was a bit sore and she had to take antibiotics to stop herself getting UTIs. If you read the book, you will realise that Jane's story goes so much further than that. I mean, bits that stick in my mind is the fact that you can't use any kind of soap, and to wash your hair, you have to wash your hair bent over forwards in the shower because you can't even risk the shampoo running down your body. Pants and most types of clothing, almost impossible to wear. I mean, this isn't just you can't do your favorite things.
No, it's
you cannot function properly because of this intense and ongoing soreness and pain.
Yeah, it's like having a blowtorch between your legs, burning all the time, itching, soreness. You've got micro cuts. And you know what is so sad? Because I run a group now with quite a few thousand women. I'm not rare. My story is not rare. And Dr. Louise Newson, who is a great menopause advocate, she has had women who have gone to see her in a desperate state who have not been able to sit down, as in sit down for 5 years. Mm. Or they have not been able to wear their jeans or their trousers for 10 plus years. We know it's a big problem because when you look in the supermarket or in chemist and you see all these products for itching, burning, soreness, that's what it's all for.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned products, actually, Jane, because I've got here a rather nice, I think this was from Marks and Spencer's, this sort of wash pouch thing that used to have my nail varnishes in. Yes. And now it's my vagina pouch because it is full of all the things that I use for my vagina. So I use something called Multi-Gin Acti Gel.
Of course it is.
I've never had to say it out loud. You'll know about all of these things.
There are loads of products out there, loads. And the most important thing is that we don't self-treat. You really need to go and see your medical professional, because the symptoms that I have and the symptoms of vaginal dryness are also very similar to other skin conditions, vulva things we can get. But you just have to be careful. If they contain certain things, they can make the symptoms worse.
I thank you very much for putting me in touch with Olive and Bee. It's like luxury soothing. It's like, when you have a bit of me time, it's like, oh, I'm just going to put a bit of Olive and Bee on my vulva. Yeah. Really treat myself. Yeah. It's like, oh, I feel better now. Cup of tea, bit of Olive and Bee. Oh, I'm sorted. How seriously was this taken when you presented, raw, almost tearing vulva at your GP, which I'm guessing was your first step? What was the response?
The problem is, because I was only 45, two and two wasn't put together, because it's assumed that it's a so-called much older lady's problem. And as I said to you, it is not. And I got misdiagnosed with something else, something called lichen sclerosis, which is quite a common skin condition also. So I was put on the wrong treatment. So then eventually I did what you call doctor shopping. I went off and found vulva dermatologists to have a look, because you get on this almost hamster wheel because the pain is so awful and it changed your life so much, and you can't quite believe what's happening to you. But it was eventually found that it was due to lack of estrogen, vaginal atrophy or vaginal dryness. And that's the thing, it's called vaginal dryness as the list of things for menopause, and it's so much more than dryness, because that women think it's in the vagina, but actually a good 50% of us suffer the vulva and the bladder also. And localized estrogen inside my vagina and externally and HRT is what has given me a lot of my life back. You know, I'm sitting here now wearing jeans. Yes, they're baggy jeans. I will never wear tight jeans again. Everything's a size bigger. But the fact that I went a whole year not being able to wear pants any type, that was including when I went shopping and, you know, took the dogs to walk across the field, that is huge progress.
And you've, and as well as the HRT and the estrogen and, you know, some of the more soothing things that you've used, you've also had quite an invasive procedure, haven't you?
So I've had laser treatment. And this I researched for a long time. So I wouldn't call it overly invasive. Obviously, you don't try it first. But laser has been used for many, many years for scar tissue and burn tissues elsewhere on the body. And they started using it for vaginal dryness a few years ago. It came from Italy, the type I had. And basically, I had it put inside. You have this probe put in. I had three sessions of that. And then I had five externally. But what it does is it basically, and I use the word burn, which makes it sound very drastic, it's doing them such micro burns that you really can't see, very slightly inside the vagina, which then brings on a healing response.
And so that has worked for you or improved the situation?
So it's improved the situation because I've got three episiotomy scars externally. And this is what women don't realise, is that episiotomy scars from 20, 30, even 40 years ago, it's really common for them to start hurting at menopause and cesarean sections, not just episiotomies. And they can become really thin, and they can tear, especially when being intimate. And, you know, there's a lot of ladies in my group where their old episiotomy scars do literally tear, not back to their original, but surface. So I had laser treatment specifically for those scars, because I get really cross with the word designer vagina. There's nothing designer about my vagina. I can tell you that now.
Yeah. It's a celebrity vagina, Jane. Yeah. Let's not forget that, yeah. Queen of vaginal atrophy. Yeah.
But the actual scar tissues themselves are in a much better state quality-wise. So I have something called women's health physiotherapy. And if she hadn't have known me, she would have said that my vulva externally regards the quality of those scars is that of some of sort of, you know, their late 20s. So it's improved the quality, which then means it's not going to tear with the basic of movement, really, because it was at the point where if I bent over and turned sharply the wrong way, I could feel the perineum almost at the point of wanting to tear.
Wow. And I'm guessing you've not been able to go back to horse riding.
No. Bless him, the horse I had at the time, he actually had to be put down at the same time. So it did end it abruptly. But no, there would be no way I could ever sit on a horse. And I wouldn't consider riding a bike either, to be honest with you. And there's an awful lot of ladies in my group who have had to stop riding the bike or go into the gym and wearing tight gym wear, especially because that irritates also.
Long and lonely hours of sleeplessness. Thanks, menopause, you rock. I got to wondering if other mammals go through the change. A quick Google, and I can tell you that five other species of creature cease ovulating long before they die. Just five. And before you get all excited about what they are, they're all whales. Yeah. So let's cue sea sound effects. Blowing a hoolie out there. So apparently, according to experts, it is very strange to not carry on reproducing. And chimpanzees carry on reproducing right up until they die. Poor little blighters. One of the things we have in common with whales is our longevity. And anthropological work shows that grandmothers might be the key to menopause. Basically, we need to stop reproducing because we've got to help out with the grandchildren. And we can't be busy popping out more kids of our own. Is our work here never done, people? Back to whales. Interesting fact. Sperm whales do not go through menopause. I blame the patriarchy for that, for sure. Of course, sperm whales can carry on reproducing forever. They're sperm whales. But killer whales most definitely do go through the menopause. I probably could have told you that without the research. Clues in the name. Now, I better get back on dry land before my estrogen patch comes off in the sea. And with no connection to killer whales whatsoever, let's go back to Jane Lewis. What about sex?
Yeah, so I've been really lucky. My husband is absolutely amazing, has never made me feel bad once. But sex is now possible, but not overly regularly. And I have to be really careful because it's definitely not like it was. The vagina is not like it was. And perhaps we can't expect it to be, especially when it's been like mine was. But I just have to be careful. And the key is really for women of all ages, really, but loads of lube. You know, you think lube, then you add some more, and then you add some more. You just got to be so careful with the friction and the entrance to the vagina where the scars are. Mm. I just have to be careful. Yeah, it's a shock, isn't it? Because, you know, we know about men and Viagra and, you know, erectile dysfunction, but I don't think it's quite realised that this vaginal dryness, this, you know, which sounds nothing, is a form of also sexual dysfunction. And considering, you know, a good 70 to 80% of women are going to suffer, if we had that problem with a vast majority of the male population, it would be seriously more discussed and talked about and sorted and taken much more seriously.
I always say that. I mean, it must be 20 plus years since Viagra has been readily available. And yet we have no cure-all for our vaginas and no one seeming to be joining the dots. Or, you know, like you said, you were in a situation where you tried lots and lots of different things because you were desperate. But there was no one place to be pointed. There was no one answer. And it took a while to get, you know, the right diagnosis and the right understanding.
Yeah, no, that's it. And also I hear, I didn't particularly have it said to me, although it was hinted at, but I, even now in the 21st century, women are presented with, you know, vaginas and vulvas that are not fit for purpose regards having sex with. And doctors are still saying, have a glass of wine or it's in your head. Hmm. And that is not acceptable because it puts the blame back on the woman. And of course you're not going to want to have sex. A man would not want to have sex, I can guarantee, if his penis was splitting and bleeding and burning and sore and he got a UTI every time afterwards. But because it would be seen, and with us it's much more hidden.
I know that you were a florist, were you not, with your own floristry business?
Yes, I was a wedding florist. Mm. Yeah.
And you had to give that up because of your problems with your vulva and vagina.
I was just so uncomfortable and I couldn't concentrate with the discomfort at all. And I nearly missed two weddings. Now, when you nearly miss someone's precious day, and I was starting to make mistakes and my mental health was at an all-time low. It's when I was actually suicidal and drugs had to be hidden that it was time to call it a day. And I couldn't do it now anyway, because although I'm hugely better than I was, I will never be the person I was as it stands. I have to accept that, which is quite hard. But, you know, this is my, you know, whoever thought that I'd be, from being a horsey person and having a flower business, that I would be talking about vaginas, really.
It's opened a conversation and new opportunities. But I think it's just really important to talk about the impact that it had on your career and your livelihood and your business. And as you say, your identities, your identity as a horse rider, your identity as a, you know, a business owner, your identity as a partner, a sexual partner. And I think it's really important for people to hear and understand just how deep a problem like this runs. No pun intended.
Yes, absolutely. And there's nurses in my group have had to stop being a nurse. You know, it extends wide.
Have you got any tips for women listening who are having mild irritation?
So, you know, we need to be proactive, not reactive, about our vagina, vulva, bladder health. So we should not feel that area. It should be an area that you'd, unless you're going having sex, orgasm, going to the loo, it should be an area that you don't really think about, or, you know, hurting all the time. So if you start getting irritation, itching, soreness that you've never had before, first thing is to definitely go and see your GP and check yourself regularly, every month, same as you do your breasts. And once you've been given the okay, then localized estrogen, and it's not HRT, it's very different to HRT, really, for the long term, as in the next 30 plus years without estrogen, is the best thing for your vagina to keep it healthy and your bladder, because bladder UTI issues in the elderly women are ginormous. But then, so lubes. Now, I'm not sponsored by anyone or have anything to do with any company. And what I will say is what suits me may not suit you. But there are about three lubes out there that are very good. We have, yes, the company, yes, yes, yes. There is something called Silk, S-Y-L-K. And there's another one that has recently come to the UK that's been in Canada for many years. And I really, really like this one, Sutil, S-U-T-I-L. They are the ones with the least sort of ingredients in them. And they're all the lube types, but yes, also do a vaginal moisturizer. And then there's also something by a company called Balance Active Menopause Moisture Plus. This is the blue and white box. That is really very soothing. And then externally, I personally love Olive and Bee. And I do it, you know, twice a day. We moisturize our face as we're aging because it's getting dry. And basically the vulva needs the same because the vulva and the pelvic floor are asked an awful lot of without us even realizing. And if sex is becoming painful, because what happens to the vagina is it gets tighter and shorter, and using dilators can really, really help in between having sex to sort of gently stretch the vagina and make it more used to having a penis vibrator or whatever going in it. If things aren't put in it, we still need to have smear tests. We still need to potentially have pelvic exams. And if you don't put anything in the vagina for years and years, some women don't, as in they don't put anything in, the last time they had sex was so painful, so they stop having sex. The vagina becomes so tight, they can't even get their little finger in. They couldn't even get half their little finger, and it becomes so, so tight inside. So it's important to try and keep it open in one way or another.
What about vibrators to try and combat vaginal atrophy and keep the blood flowing? I read quite a few people saying that's what they've been suggested and that's what they've tried. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so that is correct information. A lot of ladies don't like dilators because they are medicalized and they just can find them intimidating. So those on their own, or whether you are in a same-sex relationship or you're, you know, husband and wife or what have you, and you can't have intimacy regards a penis going in or a vibrator normally, they can really help gently stretch the vagina once it's healed through vaginal moisturizers and estrogen, etc. But it's really important to try and keep the vagina open, and orgasms are really good for the pelvic floor regards blood flow and endorphins for us mentally, etc. Because what we have to realize is that we are potentially post-menopause for 30 years. That's our estrogen is as good as nil, and the pelvic floor area is hugely dependent on estrogen. I personally can't use a vibrator with the battery on because I have nerve damage, which is something different. But yeah, you just take yourself upstairs, get some really good lube. You start off with a bullet, which is really small because the big ones can be obviously intimidating if you're really shrunk, and then just work up. What I do hate is the term use it or lose it. And my gynecologist does not like that either. If your vagina is burning, splitting, bleeding, you do not want to put anything in it until it has healed. Once it's healed, you then do put things in it and sort of basically keep the tunnel open.
And Jane, are you now menopausal, postmenopausal? Where are you on your journey now?
Yeah, well, I'm 54 and I'm still at the moment in perimenopause. I'm one of those rare ones. I don't know what the percentage is. I think is it 5%? I don't know exactly, but I'm one of the rarer ones. So I'm still, my own hormones are in the background still causing havoc, and I've still got follicles in my ovaries and all those things. So I'm hoping that once I become post-menopause, things may calm down because it's easier to sort my HRT out without my own ones in the background having, it's a bit like fireworks sometimes. You know, my book was actually written by my daughter. I said everything I wanted to be written in it, but she wrote it for me because it's so important, the next generations, that we start talking and we stop suffering in silence, because vaginal dryness atrophy is not a new problem. It's always been there. You know, I've opened the box, and it's now for everyone to start talking about it, because menopause is so much more than hot flushes. Mental health, I think mental health and vaginal dryness are crippling, having those two together.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, sometimes I say I would swap this vagina for a hot flush any day of the week. I know, yes, that they can also be really debilitating, but I haven't had one at all. And I think to myself, if the hot flushes start, maybe the vagina will sort itself out.
Yeah. I've never had a hot flush either. I've never had one.
Maybe we have that to look forward to when we're post-menopausal or menopausal or whatever.
Well,
whatever
I don't know.
Is coming. Well, listen, thank you so much for speaking to me on My Last Eggs today. today, but also thank you so much for writing the book.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for your time. How great was Jane Lewis? Her book, Me and My Menopausal Vagina, is out now. I'm still on the hunt for a perimenopausal Spice Girl who will come on the podcast. I feel very hopeful. But next week, we've got actress, writer and all-time national treasure Julie Graham on the podcast.
You know, my life started going back to normal, but I was still having all these things. There's the insomnia, the anger, the rage. Red flag, bull. Boiling, inferno, Vesuvial rage.
And if you like the sound of that, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. And remember to rate and review us.